It is July 12th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of the content of the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three story in the lead section of today's newsletter. Also, we have a video from our Open Outcry Traders History Project. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today is another day of sad news, as R.J. O'Brien reported yesterday that John W. O'Brien Sr. has passed away after a long illness. The press release from RJO is below. JLN sends our condolences to the O'Brien family and the RJO team and family and friends of Johnny O'Brien on his passing. Also yesterday, Jacqueline Cashman, the wife of Thomas J. Cashman, passed away. She was the mother of Thomas F. Cashman, who is a member of the JLN Advisory Committee and one of my best friends. Thomas J. Cashman is a mentor of mine and former neighbor in Wisconsin for whom I worked as a driver. My condolences to the whole Cashman family on her passing. Today we have a video we shot in San Antonio for the Open Outcry Traders History Project, which I have mentioned before. This video is part one of our interview with veteran trader Joe Corona. Corona and his partner Bruce Lawrence hired me as an off-the-floor futures trader in 1989, concerned about the viability of trading floors because of electronic trading. He gives a frank discussion about his experiences starting as a runner at the SIBO, trying to make some money while looking for a job for his real career that never happened. The markets captured Corona and we are better for it. You'll enjoy his entry into the Open Outcry series. SpiderRock today launched ChartTool as a new way to visualize options volatility. They're offering a free demo for 30 days. For more information, you can click on a link in today's newsletter. My daughter Catherine is the assistant program director for the Summit Bechtel Reserve Summer Camp Program for the Boy Scouts of America. And one of the things she does is lead the opening campfire program on Sunday night. Because she has been on staff for 5 years at the Summit, her family gets a discount for her staying here and the activity fee waived. We do have to pay for the food fee. It is a great deal for the whole family to come and stay in one glamping tent and participate in the activities of the camp, which are the best of what Boy Scout camps have to offer. Yesterday, the family was at the rifle range and shot two different types of rifles. Today, we get to shoot shotguns, though I will be foregoing the experience. Robbie, Tim, and Nicole are at the mountain biking course this morning. Everyone is having fun, though we are needing to regularly check for ticks. One of the great things about coming to a place like the Summit is you never know who you're going to meet. One of the first scoutmasters I met is a gentleman from St. Louis leading a group of 8 boys to the Summit. A former Eagle Scout from his troop is David Montgomery, the running back of the Chicago Bears. He was Montgomery's scoutmaster from the time he was 10 years old all the way to Eagle. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the video I spoke of. Veteran trader Joe Corona talks freely in his Open Outcry Traders History Project interview, part one. Joe Corona's Open Outcry Traders History Project story is a frank discussion of someone who stumbled into the markets as a temporary gig on his way to another career that never happened. Joe started a career in the markets after a friend of a friend helped him get a job as a runner at the SIBO in 1980 after he graduated from Northwestern University, and he never looked back. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's the press release from R.J. O'Brien. R.J. O'Brien and Associates reports the passing of John W. O'Brien Sr. R.J. O'Brien and Associates is the oldest and largest independent futures brokerage and clearing firm in the United States. Chicago-based R.J. O'Brien and Associates today announced the passing on Saturday evening of John W. O'Brien Sr. following a long illness. R.J. Chairman and CEO Jerry Corcoran said, "We are deeply saddened to lose Johnny, my dear friend, our longtime board member, former chairman, as well as CEO, and beloved member of the family that founded our firm and that remains majority owner to this day. Johnny bravely fought his battle with cancer over the last 4 years. He was the architect of the RJL Renaissance that began when he assumed the CEO position in the 1980s and laid the foundation for the global firm we are today. He was an inspirational leader who relished his role as director and ensured that the O'Brien family values of treating clients with respect, doing business the right way, and embracing employees like family were instilled throughout the organization. On a personal note, I will forever be grateful for his mentorship, friendship, and confidence. All of us at RJO extend our heartfelt condolences to his wife, Pat, their 4 children, his 4 siblings, and the entire O'Brien family." My comment: too many press releases like this recently from RJO. Here's a story from Reuters. Citron's Left says crypto is, quote, a complete fraud. Andrew Left, founder of Citron Research and one of the world's best-known short sellers, on Monday described cryptocurrencies as a fraud. Asked at a conference about fraud in financial markets where he saw potential fraud, Left told the audience, "I think crypto is just complete fraud, over and over and over." He did not say whether he had investments in cryptocurrencies. My comment: complete is a very strong word to describe fraud, but what is an incomplete fraud? Here's a story from Bloomberg. Amazon's cloud unit is what's on sale this Prime Day. Analysts say cloud business worth more than the entire company. Amazon has slumped 33% amid tech sell-off post-pandemic shift. Amazon.com's Prime Day may grab headlines, but investors are much more focused on its fast-growing cloud computing and advertising services businesses. The 2-day shopping event, which starts Tuesday, comes as the tech giant's retail business faces weaker consumer demand amid a looming recession. Bulls, however, say e-commerce headwinds have obscured the still vibrant trends at cloud computing business Amazon Web Services and the advertising service unit. My comment: Amazon is using Big Ten math with a 2-day Prime Day. Here's a story from the FT. France's Great Dijon mustard crisis. A triple catastrophe has left chefs and ordinary shoppers scrambling to source prize condiment. Surgical masks and paracetamol for fight against COVID-19 microchips from Asia for European car manufacturers. Sunflower oil from Ukraine for restaurants and households. All have been in short supply at times since start of pandemic. But now, for French food lovers, it's getting serious. The country is running out of mustard. My comment: this is a tragedy of unknown proportions that has left Sarah Rudolph shaking. She loves her mustard. Here's a story from the New York Times. The business lunch may be going out of business. Many upscale restaurants that cater to nation's downtown office crowd are canceling the meal as remote work persists and business deals are sealed online. Few people understand the power lunch better than Ashok Beja. The restaurateur began his career here in the waning days of Ronald Reagan's presidency when he opened the Bombay Club, a short walk from the White House. 8 of the 10 restaurants he operates today are, like his first, located downtown. They're conveniently clustered near one another, making it easier for Mr. Baja to preside over multiple dining rooms and near customers who work on Capitol Hill, at the State Department, and in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, crucial sources of what Mr. Baja calls his lunch crowd. My comment: I have a business lunch next week. It will be the first one in a long time. I hope I remember how to lunch. Here's the top 3 stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was "Jump Trading is All In on Crypto Despite the Wintry Mix" from Bloomberg. Second was "FTX Presses for Crypto Derivatives Approval, Agitating Legacy Exchanges" from the Wall Street Journal. Third was also from the Wall Street Journal, was "Lumber Futures Are Getting a Makeover." And then here are the top 3 stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg. The former Citi trader is battling to become UK Prime Minister. Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid both spent time in London finance. Pair are now competing to replace Boris Johnson as leader. When Rishi Sunak stood down as UK's Chancellor last week, he lamented that it may be my last ministerial job. Yet within 3 days, the former hedge fund manager was the front runner to replace Boris Johnson as Prime Minister. He's been joined in the leadership race by Sajid Javid, another former high flyer in the City of London, after the pair's resignation, minutes apart, spelled the end of Johnson's tumultuous spell in number 10. And then here's another story from the FT. Rishi Sunak launches leadership campaign with backing from top ministers. Former Chancellor wins support from Deputy Minister Dominic Raab and Transport Secretary Grant Shapps. Rishi Sunak, the UK's former chancellor, has officially launched his campaign to become the next prime minister in his bid to outpace his rivals with cabinet endorsements by Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab and Transport Secretary Grant Shapps. Sunak is the front runner in the battle to become Tory party leader, with more publicly declared support from MPs than any of the other remaining nine candidates. But he is seeking to head off opposition from the right of the party, notably other contenders with more aggressive tax-cutting platforms. Here's another story from the FT. Hedge funds cut back trading after LME nickel chaos. Exchange stepped in to halt a squeeze on a short seller and protect other users from heavy losses. Hedge funds have cut back positions in some markets that they fear could suddenly become difficult to transact in, following the London Metal Exchange's decision to void thousands of nickel trades. The LME's move in March to cancel 8 hours' worth of trades has pushed a number of hedge funds to reassess the risks they face across their portfolios, from human interference upending their positions. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.